Back on downtown Tuesday afternoon, time for some basketball talk. To do that, we get on the telephone line and welcome in the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, John Corrales. John, have you picked a new theme yet for the show? Is it too late for me to get in on this?
No, we're still accepting submissions. You got? I figure you have a very silky singing voice. Maybe you want to croon something. We can go in a different direction with the opening.
I was going to do like an Elvis thing.
Sure.
It's Locked On Celtics with Johnny K. I don't know.
Thank you very much. We will take that into consideration.
Your people will call my people.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Well, let's talk a little Celtics. Back at it here tonight. Many will be back. It sounds like there'll be some more folks missing in action. What's the status of Peyton Pritchard and Jaylen Brown?
Peyton Pritchard feels good, not quite 100%, but is getting there, he says, but he's available. Jaylen Brown listed as questionable, but he went through a pregame workout before the Phoenix game and seems to be doing okay. It's just a general soreness. I think it's most likely a bit of the schedule catching up to him. So they're just going to take it easy with him. I'm going to assume that he'll play, and the question will be whether he'll be available for the back-to-backs coming up this week, back-to-backs every week now. But I don't think there's anything big with him.
What does this team have to do to, I don't know, find some consistency?
Have guys play, basically. Yeah. And mostly because, unlike last year, the loss of Gordon Hayward is actually a kind of a big deal in this regard because he was so versatile. Like, you lose Marcus Smart, you plug in Gordon Hayward. You lose Jason Tatum, you plug in Gordon Hayward. You lose Kemba Walker, you plug in Gordon Hayward. Was he the right fit? But no, he wasn't. But he's kind of like that expanding foam spray. You just spray it in there, it kind of fills the gaps, and it's fine. Is it perfect? No. But he could handle the ball, he could defend, he could shoot, and he would have, you know, the ability to just kind of help the Celtics get through. The Celtics don't have that now. So when they lose Tatum to COVID issues, they lose Jaylen Brown now to this knee, they're going to miss Smart for most of this month, if not all of it. That is much, much harder for them to make up. And with the change in how Jaylen Brown is getting his points and making his impact, it's tougher for Kemba to just kind of come back in and be Kemba, because Kemba's going to be the one who changes his game the most. So it's just a bit different this year and harder for them to make up for these losses. So basically, to get consistent, they need to have consistent lineups. And if somebody's out, it's almost better for them to be out for a long time, so at least the guys that are there know what they're going to do. But as soon as these guys all get back and healthy, and hopefully they stay healthy, we're going to start to learn more of who these guys really are.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Speaking of Kemba Walker, the numbers tell a story, and it's, well, not always a pretty one about Kemba so far.
No, yeah, he's not getting to the rim the way he used to. He's certainly not getting free throws the way he used to. He has said that the stopping is still part of a mental issue that he's trying to work through. The pain in his knee really seemed to raise its head when he stopped. You know, it screamed at him the most when he stopped. And so stopping now is a bit of a mental hurdle that he has to get through. Once he can stop, then he becomes Kemba again. And he can stop and change directions. That's the Kemba move, stopping on a dime and changing directions. That's how he gets free throws. That's how he gets to the rim and finishes. So that element alone is what's holding him back. Once he can get through that, and there's no indication that his knee is hurting anymore, because otherwise he's moving fine. Once he gets through that, then we might be able to see an increase in some of these numbers that really don't look good for him right now.
Well, the Jazz have been taking a different approach so far this year, really heavy on the three-pointers. Can they keep that going, and do the Celtics have to defend the three aggressively tonight?
Yeah, just to give you a little sense of how the Jazz have come along, in the Quinn Snyder era, back in the 14-15 season, they took 21.7 three-pointers per game. They're now taking 42.1. And that's more than the game has evolved and the personnel has changed. That is a concerted effort by the Jazz. You have to really be on point. They are hard to defend. They don't have Mike Conley tonight, which is good for the Celtics. That combination of Conley and Gobert has been dynamite, and it's been able to move Donovan Mitchell off the ball. Now he's going to be on the ball a bit more, which is fine, but you're going to miss some of the things that have made the Jazz so good. But you have to be disciplined in your closeouts. You can't be flying by when they up fake. You know they want to get themselves behind the line. You have to be disciplined, and what you don't want to do is run them off the line and then have them drive and kick and just have a different guy hit a three-pointer. So this is going to be a real test for the Celtics defense. They're going to have to be extraordinarily connected and help each other out. You know, they just can't have lapses. Can't have guys get cut back door behind them. It has to be a full 48-minute focus.
This is a very interesting stat that you posted last night on social media. The Celtics run the 10th fewest post-ups, but are second in the league in points per possession.
Yeah, they don't run the post-ups a lot, but they definitely are able to score effectively on them. And it just raises a possibility of when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown especially get mismatches, that's a good way to go. The league doesn't go for post-ups very much. It's a very inefficient, generally, or approach. Statistically, it's difficult because you're actually putting a defender as close to you as possible, and it's generally going to be a challenged shot. But with the Celtics and their ability to score in the post, it's an option that's there. When the Celtics give up a 6-0 run or an 8-0 run, finding a way to get one of their talented wings in the post against a smaller guy is going to be, I think, an effective way to prevent those runs from getting to 12-0 or 12-2. It's going to be a way to slow the other team down, set your defense. Not only are you able to potentially score off of that or draw a lot of people in, it's a great way to get paint touches and kick it out to good shooters. If you can get a couple of those in those scenarios, that's where you win games. When you are able to quell a second quarter 14-2 run and turn it into, oh, they had an 8-0 run, now the Celtics respond with a 6-0 run. Those are the spots where games are won and lost. It's not always down the stretch in the fourth quarter. So I think it can be an effective option for them.
John, 20-some games into the season, from your perspective, who's the most improved team in the East?
The most improved team in the East? I would say I'm going to give that to Philadelphia. They've not only risen to the top of the standings, they have gotten great performances from their key players. Obviously, Joel Embiid has played very well, but they improved themselves with the spacing. They've added players to complement their stars, and I think they've done a very good job in understanding what they really do have on that roster, playing to the strengths, which is your best player is Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons has to play a little bit of a different role, and the shooters that they've added around those two guys have opened things up. I mean, you can look at a team like Charlotte, and they've really found something with LaMelo Ball kind of emerging. I think that they've done very well there too. Obviously, Gordon Hayward is really playing well. For them to be right around 500, and that's good enough for the sixth seed in the East, that's also very impressive, but I'll go with Philly.
All right, there you go. John, enjoy the game tonight. It's a late night for you tonight, but you're up to the task.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm drinking my coffee right now to get me going.
Good plan. There you go, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
Okay, see you then.